Hello, my lovely podcast friends. How are you doing? How's your life going on? It's the last day of the week. It's the last week of your chance for profitability, high energy, and great zones. It's the day that you're gonna have your freedom about. So let me know how it was for you. What do you think about it? Was it great? Was it joyful or not? Don't forget, you can tweet me at Lodewijkhof or send me a message. You can message me on SoundCloud by simply leaving a comment below. To be clear, on this show, we're going to talk about the one thing that you need for your electric car. So we're going to talk about the great investment opportunity related to the electric car. We're going to talk about the big issues in the gold market and what is the problem, what will power the gold return on investments. Well, then let's have a look about the next war zone area. It's Iceland, and they're going to get a war. And we're going to have a look at what war it is and how you can make money out of the war that's going to happen over there. And before you begin, don't just listen and then tell me what you think about it. We're going to have a look at the real estate prices and is the price valuation of your real estate really important? And as a libertarian, some really fun things. Chat with the robber barons and about the robber barons. Are they good? Are they bad? So I will say, yeah, that's all for the show, and that's what we all gonna line up. It's gonna, once again, it's a great mixture of innovation, gold, history, and a future war that you could make money on. So I would simply say, let's get the ball going and let's get the moment of profitability in your daily routine started. Let's have a quick check at what's happening in the electric car world. It's a big hype. Everyone is looking at it and everyone is talking about it. And electric car has one big thing that it needs in. It needs a battery. Tesla is buying a big factory at the moment, and there are already talks going on about where they should have the European factory. The Netherlands is trying to get it, and everyone is basically trying to get a Tesla factory because Tesla is hot. Elon Musk is hot, and Elon Musk makes money with his vision. Let me be clear, Elon Musk is an entrepreneur the way you need quite of them, because the boring electric cars, he got them popular. I mean, from you need to drive a Porsche, a Ferrari, it's now you need to drive a Tesla. Then you are the cool brick on the wire of mobility. Yeah, well, not really my type of tea. To be clear, I don't like electric cars, and the reason is easy. You don't hear them, and if I would say simply this, close your eyes, listen, do you hear the electric car? So let's have a look at it. But the electric car things, there means something, there is something happening. I mean, for example, the lithium-ion batteries that Tesla has in the cars are also in the Airbus aircrafts. The Airbus aircrafts, you need to replace your battery after a few years. Tesla says they keep on going on, but that also means that they are innovating. Airbus recently launched a joint venture, and Airbus, you know the firm, they make aircrafts and they are your go-to guy. If you say, I need to get a rocket into space, Airbus is one of the firms who can do it for you. And they have a joint venture for an electric bike. Yeah, from high-end, really, really innovative new things, they go into a bike. Something that people in the Netherlands and China are using. Yeah. But there is a reason for it, and they innovated on the battery. And if we have a look at it, then what we need to realize is that there is a problem with batteries and with all the commodities. And that's easy. Where do you source them? I mean, for example, there's in your smartphone and your tab, in your smartphone, tablet, and phone, mobile phones, there's cobalt. You get cobalt from the country where that we call Democratic Republic of Congo. Yeah, Congo. That's the place where, since the Second World War, if you want to get a war, simply go to Congo. You will get lucky. You get a war there. That's the place where you need, where they have proven that you don't need high-end stuff to get a big mass murder. Just some by propaganda, news, and brainwashed teenagers driven by hormones are more than enough you need to murder a part of your country. That's what's the truth. That's Congo. And you are financing the regimes, the child labor and the child abuse. with your mobile phone, with your tablet, with your laptop. Yeah, so I'm guilty also, I know, but it's just, we need to realize it. And then you have, next to this, next to cobalt, Congo has a really big supply of another metal. The metal is called scandium. Scandium allows batteries to become 15% lighter. Well, that's good, and this is why Tesla is in it. And what you're now seeing is that companies like Tesla, Daimler, Volkswagen, Porsche, Airbus, they all need it. Just imagine, aircrafts 15% lighter. Your car is 50% lighter. A bike is 50% lighter. And you need to get it out and get it, because there are just a few places you can get it on. The big places are Congo, Australia, China. Well, let's be clear, China is not going to export it because the Communist Party thinks that they need it from their own industry. And I'm pretty sure that they do need it because China is also going the electric route. Then we got Australia. Australia will sell it to everyone. Australia and China have close business ties. So that is one thing that I think pretty much is gone. Then are we looking at the markets of Congo. The reliability of a war within a few years in Congo is as certain as a Swiss banker who is discreet and offering great services. And yes, you need a Swiss banker. So what I say, and I have a few companies in mind, but I'm not going to mention them because I will put them in. I think I will put them in a report. I'm not sure about it. But you should check about scandium and just check some mining companies and put it on your radar. Have a look at it. Keep it in your mind. This should be something that you are thinking about. And when you're thinking about it, just think, this could be the new big thing. It could be the thing that's needed for artificial intelligence. This could be the thing that will bring Tesla down. It could be the thing that will make your flight and your space trip cheaper. So just have a look at it, think about it, and let me know what you think about it, because that's the great thing about this show. I get more and more comments in. Pretty soon I'm going to get them all out, and it's going to create it to a few new segments. But the show is about you, and I look forward to hearing from you, especially if you disagree with me, because, well, let's face the fact, most people don't agree with me, and that's lovely. Let's change views with respect for each other. And that means I promise a quick look at something that's gonna move the gold market up. And let me be clear what it is. It's something easy. It's something that everyone can figure out. It's just monitoring the news. And I got it into three different email newsletters I got in. And I was thinking, well, then it's gonna get big. Over a few years, we all hear the news. So it's time to give my lovely podcast listeners the few hundred I got, mainly from the Netherlands, Belgium, and Italy. Really. How the heck did I get all my listeners from Italy? I really love you, my lovely Italian listeners. But it was always easy. Netherlands, Belgium, US, Ukraine. They were the markets I was in. And now Italy, from out of nothing, Italy started brewing up and is getting in. Really lovely. I like it. That's a really great thing about a podcast compared to traditional radio. You can go in from anywhere to anywhere and you don't have a clue where your shows are gonna get popular. Because if Italy moves on like this, I could become the next podcast hit in Italy. Well, that would be lovely. Definitely, I will get an argument with the mafia. That's gonna reduce my life expectancy with another 10 years. Oh yeah, well, another one next to the list of threats. So just a new one in. Now, time to have a quick look at gold. And the gold market has a really, really, really big problem. And problem is easy. There is not enough gold. The problem is easy. You're a gold mine. You grab gold, you sell it, you mine it, you sell it. That's basically what you are doing. That's your business model. This has a problem. If you are selling your gold, you are not having, at a certain moment, you sold ever all the gold. I mean, a snake who's eating himself will never become a big snake. And then the big anacondas, or whatever those big snakes are called that are living in the Amazon River, and those big things. I'm not really a snake specialist and I hate those animals. Although, I'm told they are really great in taste. But those animals, they don't eat themselves. So that's how the way they become big. So ask yourself this. If a company sells the only thing it has, how can it become a big company? It's going to be a tough thing. And if you are looking at what's happening on the gold market, it's pretty easy at the moment. The price is good, so if your gold investment is not profitable at the moment, get out. The price is really good. So that's not it, but where do you get your new supply from? There is, in the past decades, we were finding new gold mining fields frequently. Big fields, small fields, they were being found. After finding it, it could replace the new supply, the things that we got out of the ground. That time is over. So that is going to be the big thing. So how would you get it in? And I will be clear, I'm really a big gold supporting guy. I really like it. It's a great investment. Go into it because you will get inflation, you'll get hyperinflation. And then gold is one of the few really safe bets. Well, and I would say, look, and not that I say that it's for once, it's just the historical proof is there that it is a safe bet. That's why I say it is a safe bet. Not that I say so, it is a safe bet due to the history and historical facts. It's a bit like if you put your hand in the mouth of a cobra, then you have a pretty big chance it bites you. Cobras are not really healthy for human beings. It's a bit like that, and inflation is a form of taxation that politicians love. The reason they love it, you don't have to go to parliaments, and people don't see it, they don't pay it, but at least they don't see that they pay it, so they pay it by because things get more expensive. And hyperinflation always leads to a war. Well, that is a great bridge to the next topic, the Iceland war, but it is also something that will eat your wealth away. So I would sincerely suggest that you check out hofprofit.com/gold. Just see if the gold report is something for you. And it's all great things, and it's just about why you should invest in gold or why not. Because I'm not in the business of saying to you this investment you should make. My business is basically informing you by paid and free things. The paid things make the money, the free things are just promotional materials, and that's just what it is. I mean, it's not complicated, it's not tough. It's time to have a look at the new big war. The war zone is Iceland. And now you're gonna think, war, Iceland, what the heck is happening? Well, let me give you a background. It's not about a war with soldiers and people killing each other. I say that the next cryptocurrency war zone is Iceland. And it's for obvious reasons. I mean, first of all, if you just look at Iceland is a nation. It is near the Arctic, it has geothermal energy. It is in between Europe and the United States and Canada. It's not a member of the European Union. And in the financial crisis of 2007, 8, and 9, the country went bankrupt. I mean, I literally think that Iceland is the only developed country in the world where the finance minister goes to an IMF meeting and he is checking how much cash he got with him because he is not sure that after the meeting the credit card is working because the bank went down. But that's something else. I mean, basically it was just an effect of too big financial sector. And if you take a look at other countries who have a big financial sector, the Netherlands is one of the big ones next to Hong Kong and Luxembourg. So basically everywhere but Lodewijk is interested in and is monitoring what's happening, the financial sector is too big. That's basically what you can say. Now, there is a reason that companies are looking at Iceland. It's easy. It's cold. It's bloody cold. So that means that due to the cold weather, cooling your IT is more easy. And this is important because you need to mine your cryptos. Cryptos mining is not something you do in a mine, dig it in the ground. It's something you do with a computer. So if you set up an IT farm and get those things more into the interesting parts, what you need to do then is cool your IT. Otherwise, you have a big fire and the fire cards start in and not really good. But the fire is there. Unless you cool your IT. So you have to cool your IT. What they do in Iceland, because it's near the Arctic, you have a natural advantage. For the other energy you need, you have geothermal energy. Iceland is one big geothermal hotspot, so you can have your energy also there for almost free. And where China, Venezuela, the US, and pretty soon also European countries are subsidizing energy, they subsidize it. So that means that the government takes money from hardworking taxpayers because they give it to get something working which otherwise would not work. Yeah, sounds like a great model to me. Not. I mean, simply do it in Iceland. It just makes sense. And what you're gonna see is that what you're now seeing already is all the big crypto miners are moving to Iceland. They are getting the things out. They are moving into the Icelandic markets. Not really for the domestic market, because that's not a big market. They move into the market for the geothermal benefits. And the big question for you is now, if all the companies and everyone is talking about the Bitcoins, the Ethereum, the Litecoins and everything, is Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, are you allowing them to make you money? Yes or no? If the answer is no, okay, that's fine. If it is yes, and you say, I want to make money, I want to have a look at an innovation and make money out of it, well, then sincerely check out hofprofit.com/cryptoprofits. And let's have a quick look at something that we mostly overlook, and that's the valuation of real estate. I mean, real estate is, for a lot of people, the biggest financial decision in their life, and it is the biggest investment they make. If you follow Robert Kiyosaki from the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, your house you live in is not an asset, but he has a different view on what an asset is. So I am wondering, what do you think about what an asset is? Is your own house an asset, yes or no? And more interestingly, why? Leave a comment below on SoundCloud or just send me a tweet. Anyway, but I'm just wondering about it. If you look at the real estate prices, should you care about it from a macroeconomic and a microeconomic level? I mean, let's say you have your own house and you're living in it. Do you really feel more interesting and more happy if your house will go up in price? You're gonna spend more or you're gonna borrow more? I mean, let me be clear, if a house has a real estate property has a higher value, that means that the rent is higher, that if you want to buy it, you need to save more money or you need to have a higher debt. So that's one thing. And what if the price goes down? What if the price collapses? It's something that people never look at it. And that's, or the other way that you have to look at is, you're gonna move further away. You're gonna move farther away. You're gonna travel more. Gonna spend more car with other people in the cancer-causing traffic jam, who is basically wasting your time, and you're sitting there. But on the other side, in the traffic jam, you can listen to my podcast. So that's a good thing. Not always bad. I mean, what they say basically, real estate prices should go up, 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 and up. And I'm all just wondering, why is that good? Yes, it's good if you're a seller, but then you need to sell at the highest level. When is the highest level? When the people in 2007, in January 2007, when they sold their home, or in the summer of 2007, prior to the collapse of Bear Stearns, were they aware of what's happening? Did they know that if you sold your house one day before Bear Stearns went bankrupt, did you know that you were basically selling at the highest time ever? No, you didn't. And I don't think that you really cared about it. I mean, what high real estate prices mean is high inflation. So you're gonna pay more, you're gonna spend more, and that sounds more like you go buying for food. Yay, my food is 20% more expensive. The gasoline is 20% more expensive. My taxes go up 20% more. I have to borrow more money to buy it. Sounds really as a great way to me, but I'm not sure about it, what you think about it. Let me know. You can tweet me or leave a comment below on SoundCloud. The robber barons. They are known for the way they were stealing the money from the hardworking people. And I'm just wondering, is that really what happened? I mean, it's not like the robber barons were the government. The government is easy. They calm down. They say what they want. They take it. And if you're not working with them, they grab a gun. That's basically how the government works. Not really my way, to be honest. But most companies, they need to do something that a consumer considers valuable, because the consumer is going to trade time or money or whatever in exchange for it. And what you saw in a lot of what you see in a lot of fields and you see ongoingly in the developed world, you have a few types of companies. You have the self-made people, you have the people who are the political entrepreneurs, that are the companies that survive due to political connections and political policies, like subsidies or those type of things, sectors around subsidies. And you have the big companies who are just innovating on, like the state mines who in the Netherlands got the coal out, went then into, I believe they went from coal to chemical, or what, petrochemical, and now they are into something new. I don't know what DSM is exactly doing. And to be honest, I really don't care about it. I think it's time that someone simply buys DSM and liquidate the research capacity in the Netherlands and brings it over to China, because there you have a researcher cheap, at a cheaper price, and you are straight at the biggest market. I mean, but if you look at the Robert Barons in the time, there is a great book about it, and I strongly suggest you read it. It's The Myth of the Robert Barons. And I will try to get the author in the podcast, because I think it's a great topic. And but ask yourself a few easy questions. Do you like your tax money go into subsidies for a company that has an incentive? Let me give you an example of what's wrong with those incentives. In the United States, after the war between the Confederates and the Union, the government was subsidizing boat transport and was transporting railroads. But the railroads were subsidized for a mail track laydown. So it makes no sense to have a straight line. It didn't work. That's not, if you want to go for the subsidy route, you would go for make a lot of corners in it, because that is what it works. That's because you paid for the mail. Well, if you think about it, the best way is to go from A to B, the quickest route, and that's it. And if you look at the boats, why you get big boats, you get small boats, and what you see with governments and political organizations, they want to subsidize it. Basically what they're going to say, we have a project or a company or whatever, it's not going to work. It's never going to work. We're going to put money into it. We're going to grab the money of hard-working people, people who do really valuable things for society. We take the money, and when we take the money, we're gonna give it to something, we draw it down the drain, and it's when we stop the financing, the thing is gone. It's not like education, that when you learn a kid to calculate and read and program software, that it has learned something, that it has gained something that could move society forward. The only thing that you do with those things, like subsidies, and those inefficient bureaucratic opportunities, is keeping something alive that should be liquidated. And let me ask you this question. What do you value more? A highly efficient organization that really values its customers, that enjoys serving you, or an organization who's financed by the government and it's just going on? A prime example is the difference between, in my opinion, the Belgium State Railroads, NMBS, and I have nothing against them. I think they are doing pretty fine, and a lot of things they do actually better than the Dutch railroads and airline companies that are flying around, and especially VLM Airlines. At VLM, it was efficient, going on, no mocking, it worked. The Belgium railroads, every employee there is a government employee with government rights and government bureaucratics. That means that profitability is, in the first case, it was and is a private company. The second case, it's just going around and mocking around. And with that, I'm going to leave you for the last show of today. Next week, I will have at least one interview about the secrets of Apple's success. So don't forget to stay tuned. Listen to all the shows, because you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss the show anyway. I would say talk to you later and make it a profitable weekend. Let me know the things you're going to do on the weekend. I will give you a feedback report on Monday. And I will talk to you then. And cheers and ciao.